Good evening. Tonight I'm going to attempt to share with you something that the Lord has been trying to teach me. But of course, we all know that learning is a process. Come on. There we go. Go ahead, if you would, and turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 23. If you don't have your Bible, I'll have the scripture on the screen for us as well. We're going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 23, beginning in verse 3. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord even to the tenth generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse you. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loved you. You shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever. I think it's fairly safe to say that everyone in here is pretty familiar with the book of Ruth and the story of Ruth. But just to give a quick recap and a quick visual, I like visual things that help you categorize things in your mind. We'll run through just the basics of it. Beginning with Elimelech and Naomi, both Israelites, they had two children. They had Mahlon and Chilion. There was a famine in the land, and they moved from Israel to Moab to avoid the famine. And while they were there, their two sons took wives for themselves from the Moabite people. So we have Orpah and we have Ruth coming onto the scene. Within about 10 years of them moving there, problem happened. Elimelech and his two children die. So that leaves Naomi widowed with her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, widowed as well. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with the times back when this was occurring, and the societal norms where women had very low place in society. And when there was not a male attachment or a husband or something like that, it was very difficult for them to get by. So here we have three widows together, and there's no man in the picture, and it's going to be very difficult for them just to survive, to be able to make a living, to eat, and just to get by with basic necessities. So Naomi, she hears of the famine being over back home, so she says, hey, I'm going to get out of here. It's got to be better back home than it is here. At least I'll be with my people. So she tells Ruth and Orpah, you guys go back to your relatives, go back to your families, let them take care of you. Maybe look for some new husbands. Maybe you can move on with your lives. We know that Ruth, of course, absolutely refuses and says, no, I'm coming with you. Orpah eventually gives in and returns back to her family. So they part ways, and we have Naomi and Ruth heading back home to Naomi's home, to Bethlehem. And when they come back home, they're greeted by the people. And we have Naomi, we read that Naomi blames God for the problem. She puts it square on God's shoulders. And when they ask her, you know, how she is when she comes back, she says, I went away full, and the Lord brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So she's blaming God for this. And I can't really say that I blame her in this situation. I mean, this is horrible. She's lost her husband and her children. She has no family left. Just makes me think, have you ever had a time in your life where it just seems like maybe you're going through one now where everything is going against you, where it may feel like even the very hand of God is against you, where life just gives you one calamity after another? Maybe things aren't going the way you planned and it seems like everything is just going wrong, and maybe you know a little bit of what Ruth and Naomi felt like at this point in their lives. So in Ruth 1, verse 22, we have them coming back. Ruth and Naomi returned, Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And this is key, at the beginning of the barley harvest, because in those days, when it was time for harvest, the men, the workers, would go out into the fields and they would harvest the grain, the crop, whatever it was. And the women a lot of times the women who were poor and barely getting by would follow the men, and they would glean from the leftovers of the harvest. So that's what we find Ruth doing. She's gleaning, and she just happens to be gleaning in the field of Boaz. So Boaz notices the new girl. I mean, he's, you know, this is the Israel, and this is a young, Ruth is a young Moabite woman, so she probably stuck out like a sore thumb. So he says, hey, who's the new girl? He asks around about her, and, you know, Naomi's decently well-connected in the area. This is where she was from. So he hears about her. He hears the story of what happened. He hears from other people what the situation is, and I assume that he's touched because we read that he shows her kindness, and that's unusual. Why would he show kindness to her? He tells her to stay close to his young women that are also following around, gleaning from the leftovers of the harvest. And he tells her also to stick close to the young men who are doing the harvesting. And that would be great if he just stopped there. That would be an excellent testimony. I mean, here's a foreigner in the land, someone that the Israelites don't particularly get along with anyway, and he's showing kindness to her. I think that's wonderful. But then he goes a step further, and he tells the young men, leave extra leftovers. Don't take it all. Leave a little extra for her. And then, when you see her gathering more than the other ones, don't rebuke her. Don't tell her not to take it. Let her have it. I want her to have the extra. And so this happens, and you know, Ruth comes back to Naomi because they're living together at this point, and she has all this harvest. And Naomi asks, where did you get all this from? That was more than I expected you to be able to get, just gleaning after from the leftovers. And she, of course, tells us a story about what's going on. And you see here this time of trial, this dry spell, if you will, for Ruth and Naomi. And you see this glimmer of hope and just this slight bit of encouragement during the trial. You see, they had this time where they were looking at how are we going to get by? How are we going to survive without starving? And they have provision made for them. And I think it's interesting. The next verse that I noticed was Ruth 2 and chapter 23. It says, so she kept close to the young women of Boaz, as Boaz had instructed her to do, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And why I thought that verse was interesting is because it shows patience. It shows patience in the middle of a trial. You see, back in verse 20, I believe it was, she knows that Boaz is a redeemer. And she doesn't act on it right away. She continues to be patient. She's going through a trial. She's been given provision, just a small amount. There's now enough food to eat. We're not going to starve. So this is a little provision, but she doesn't jump straight to Boaz and say, hey, redeem me, do it now. She has patience, and she waits until the end of the wheat and the barley harvest. She's not greedy. She goes on with the plan. And it just reminds me, just when we're going through times, when we're going through trials, just because we see a little bit of provision from the Lord, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the Lord's time to redeem us from the trial. So waiting patiently until the end of the harvest. Of course, after the harvest time is over, she reveals to Boaz who she is. She lets her know the familial relationship. She's got Naomi's encouragement, and she informs Boaz that he is one of their kinsmen redeemers and asks for redemption. And the story goes on where Boaz agrees, but there's a catch, of course. There's a closer redeemer. There's another kinsman who comes in line first before Boaz, and Boaz has to run this by him before he acts. But, of course, he's smart in how he does it. We see the account in Ruth chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Then he said to the redeemer, this is Boaz speaking, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling a parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, then redeem it. But if you will not tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. You see, the other Redeemer may have been aware of the passage we read earlier back in Deuteronomy. This admonition from God not to associate with the Moabites, and he wasn't willing to risk this association with Ruth. Fortunately, Boaz was willing, and the union resulted in a child. Ruth 4:16-17. Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And right there, that just speaks volumes to me. I would assume Naomi never thought for a second that she was going to be a grandmother and that her life was going to be this way after her husband died and her two children died. This is probably the farthest thing from her mind that she would be sitting in a situation where she's got a grandson. Not only a grandchild, but a grandson in those days. Very, very special. So Naomi is able to become the child's nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They called him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And we see this Moabite woman, Ruth. And we see not only goodness being shown to her, but we see her being the mother of Obed, who's in the line of Christ. You see, when we get our eyes off of the Lord and onto our circumstances, is when we lose sight of God's goodness. And I just can't believe the amazing goodness that God showed to these two women, Naomi and even to Ruth, and through Ruth to Naomi. Even after this curse was made back in Deuteronomy against Ruth and her people, the Moabites, but God still chose her, a Moabite woman, to perpetuate the line of Christ. That last verse in the passage said, you shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever. And yet God still chose to show good to her. And in light of what God says about the Moabites and how good he was to Ruth and to Naomi, think about how much good God has stored up for us, a people that he has actually promised good things to. I mean, he gave his own son to redeem us. He hasn't cursed us like he cursed the Moabites. He loves us. And just a few things that he has promised to us. I'll go through these pretty quickly. It's Matthew 7:11. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Psalm 100:5. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And ultimately, when we've left this sin-cursed earth, he will wipe every tear away from our eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And just for a point of reminding, it's not that this is a health and wealth gospel, that God is always going to make us prosperous and wealthy and even healthy. But that God's good to us is not always financial or physical, but sometimes our physical pain is required for God's ultimate good. So next time you find yourself in the middle of life's struggles, be reminded and be encouraged that God is good, no matter our circumstances. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we've had this evening to meet together and to share our requests before you and to make petition of you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come into your very throne room tonight. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, even though we don't deserve it. And I thank you for the time we've been able to reflect upon your word, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to remember these things and that you'll be with us as we go through life's struggles, which we're promised we will have. And Lord, that you will see us through as you have promised to do as well. In Jesus' name, amen.